The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Lexi Brinkley, Danny Miles. I've got Daniel Tagg in studio and Sean Wells. And I have a very special guest on the line today. I've got Nathan Runkle. He is the president and founder of Mercy for Animals. I absolutely love this man and respect him so much for everything that he has done to help animals all over the world. Since founding the Mercy for Animals over a decade ago, Nathan has overseen the organization's growth into a leading national force in the prevention of cruelty to farmed animals and promotion of compassionate food choices and policies. Vag News magazine has recognize both Mercy for Animals and Nathan for making substantial contributions to the vegetarian movement, naming Nathan as one of the 25 most fascinating vegetarians and one of the country's 20 top activists under 30 years old, and twice naming Mercy for Animals Nonprofit of the Year. You can hear how nervous I am. I'm so excited to have you on the show, Nathan. It's like having, almost like having Jesus on the show. I'm not, to me, I'm serious because, well, you
That's
know what?
Quite an introduction.
Well, you know, why, Nathan? Because of all the good work that you've done. I mean, it is very godlike. It is what you're doing to educate everyone all over the world about how to have mercy for animals.
Well, Bernadette, thank you. That is that's quite a generous introduction and quite something to live up to. But it's great to be back.
Well, it's so good to have you. You know, and as founder and president, you know, of Mercy for Animals, you know, I can only imagine the heavy heart that you have pretty much all the time. I don't know how you even manage it in your head. I really don't, because I know from just the work that I do, sometimes I get so just so down thinking about all the animals that are suffering all over the world. And I know that you have a new book out called Mercy for Animals, One Man's Quest to Inspire Compassion and Improve the Lives of Farm Animals. What made you write this book? Why now?
Yeah, I'm really excited about the book. It tells my story of going from a would-be fifth-generation farmer in Ohio to founding an international animal rights organization. And I wrote the book because I wanted to inform and inspire people. I wanted to give a voice to the over 9 billion animals that are raised and killed for food in our country every year. And these are animals who are just as intelligent, who value their lives, who want freedom and companionship just as much as dogs and cats, but who suffer out of sight and out of mind. And of course, these are farmed animals, cows and pigs and chickens. And most people, when they go to the grocery store or go to the drive-in, don't think about who these animals are or how they suffered before they ended up in the grocery aisle or on their plate. And, you know, we live in a country where there's not a single federal law that provides protection to these animals during their lives on the farm. Most of these animals, which are birds, have no protection at the slaughterhouse, meaning they have their throat slit while they're fully conscious. This is just horrific cruelty that most Americans find absolutely appalling once they learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
So this book tells the story of these animals. People will meet some of our undercover investigators who literally risk their lives to go in as the eyes and ears for the public, put themselves in harm's way, just witness the most horrific things, but because of their work, help drive international change, leading to big companies from Walmart to McDonald's, getting animals out of cages, really pushing the system forward. So I hope that people will read the book and that they will be inspired to take action, because we can all be part of the solution on this issue by changing our diet or getting involved in the issue more.
Or just quit wasting food. There's a great place to start. If you
are
going to choose an animal product, certainly do not waste it and throw it in the trash.
That's right. I mean, some figures say that up to a quarter of food in this country is wasted. And I mean, you can imagine that's literally billions of animals every year that are just being raised and under the most horrible conditions and then being thrown into garbage cans because of food waste. That's absolutely right.
Yeah. So let me ask you, so do you have any good news for Mercy for Animal, Mercy for Animals making progress in the country? Because we want to hear some good news.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of great news. I mean, right now, one of our big focuses is on improving the lives of broiler chickens. So these are the 8+ billion birds that are raised specifically for meat. And we've been campaigning hard to get some of the largest food industries in the world to alleviate their suffering, give these birds more space, give them access to environmental enrichments and natural light and ease the suffering that they endure in slaughterhouses. And the good news is that just over the last few months, many of the biggest players in the industry, including Burger King and many of the big food service providers, have gotten on board and said, yes, we're going to make changes on behalf of these birds. So overall, now every year, MFA's policies that we've been able to enact with these food companies affect over 1 billion animals. So the impact is huge. But, you know, I think that we see changes every day. And the film What the Health is a good example of
yes.
that. I mean, everything from close friends of mine who I haven't seen, you know, since high school to Uber drivers, are telling me about how they've seen What the Health and how it's opened their eyes
mm-hmm.
To their food choices and moved them towards plant-based eating. I think that Okja is another film that is opening people's hearts to the plight of animals. Obviously, Okja is a fictional character, but the story and everything down to the slaughterhouse equipment that's profiled in the film is very real. And I think that sometimes Hollywood can get people to think about issues that they won't otherwise think about. So I think there are a number of things in the mainstream right now that are really shifting the conversation. And all the studies show that millennials are embracing a plant-based diet, eating less meat, showing that there's a real generational shift here. So there's a lot of positive news. There's a lot of change that is happening across the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, there is a lot of change, and you can do a lot of things. You can help as a legal advocate, and you know, helping to get the word out. Corporate leaders, maybe you know, talking to their staffs, their people that they're involved with, to do the right thing, or at least make more. I don't know, just once or twice a week, make a choice to not eat meat. All of it helps.
That's right. You know, we encourage people to start with meatless Mondays. This
right.
is an easy thing, you know, enjoying a plant-based diet starting on Monday. This is something that more and more Americans are doing. Institutions, there are public school systems now that are serving meatless meals on Monday. We have hospitals doing this, businesses that are participating. If everyone went meatless on Monday in the U.S., we would spare over 1 billion animals. From factory farm conditions. We would help ease the strain on our environment. It'd be a good thing for human health. So a lot of people think it's an all or nothing thing. They're either in the vegan camp or they're in the meat eating camp. But it's really somewhere in the middle that if more and more Americans did that, we would have such a larger impact. So I always encourage people to lean into it. Eat more plant-based foods. Participate in Meatless Monday. It's a positive thing, and you'll feel the benefits not only in your body but also in your mind.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you know, I was talking about driving change on your. I'm looking at your website. Corporations control the fate of billions of farmed animals. A single policy change by a major restaurant or grocery chain can reduce the suffering of countless animals. And I have to tell you, I have you on the line here. I haven't really talked about it publicly, but I had this idea as former owner of Wingstop, part owner and founder, to reach out to the CEO, their 20th anniversary symposium is here in Dallas, Texas in just a few months. I was going to try to convince them to launch a vegan chicken wing so that a lot of
Absolutely.
Chickens could be saved. Don't you think that's a great idea?
I think that's a brilliant idea. And, you know, the meatless market is booming. It's not only growing so much, but there are so many great products that are on the market now. I mean, you have everything from Gardein to Beyond Meat to the Impossible Burger, which is about to be launched nationally, which is the one that's getting a lot of headlines because it actually bleeds. It has heme in it that's made out of yeast, and it's all plant-based. So the development in plant-based meats is really just accelerating. And again, it takes far less resources to raise plants directly and eat them instead of raise the plants and feed them to animals and house the animals and truck them to slaughter. So, you know, we're seeing more and more environmental organizations embracing a plant-based diet as a way to protect our environment, which, of course, is more important now than ever.
Well, you know, it's funny you bring up the brand Gardein, because I brought this package in that I tried the other night. They're 7-grain crispy tenders. And so we had company over too. So some of them wanted real chicken, which I got the organic. And then I got 2 bags of this. And I have to tell you, these were better than the chicken. And the people, and I've had parties where this has happened to me, where I'll, you know, have a little bit of vegetarian or vegan food for the people that are there that are vegan or vegetarian. And then all the people that are meat eaters eat all the vegan and vegetarian food. And because it is, you
which
can,
is great.
Yeah, it is great. And I have found that numerous times over the years, but this problem, I mean, this product with Gardein is absolutely a great product. The problem is it's not quite there yet, but this was the product that I was going to pitch to Wingstop, that they start carrying this and tossing it in their sauces. So interesting stuff.
Absolutely. And we're seeing, you know, places like Yard House start to carry these options. So it's definitely gone mainstream. You can make vegan food taste better than the traditional animal products. It's all about the seasonings, the spicing, the marinade, how it's cooked, and having a healthier, cruelty-free base for it.
Well, I love your book. Can't wait to get it. I really, really can't. Mercy for Animals, One Man's Quest to Inspire Compassion and Improve the Lives of Farm Animals. Nathan Runkle, I can't even tell you how honored I am to have you on the show. Thank you so much for jumping on the air with us.
The honor was mine. Thanks so much.
All right, Nathan Runkle. Go to Mercy for Animals. Every little bit helps. And you know what? Don't waste meat. If you eat it, don't waste it. And maybe choose a vegan option once in a while and save a couple of chickens or something. All right, everyone. Stay tuned. We've got Dr. Mike Benster coming right up. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Did you know that hemp has been used for a variety of wellness needs for thousands of years? And now, thanks to the Stanley Brothers in Colorado, you can now get Charlotte's Web, the most trusted whole plant hemp extract in the world. Charlotte's Web is a proprietary whole plant hemp extract that contains all of the beneficial and naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. In fact, in 2003, the federal government recognized the beneficial effects on human health and obtained a U.S. patent titled Cannabinoids and Antioxidants. For more information and to get educated about Charlotte's Web, visit cwhemp.com. That's cwhemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's all-natural mineral water has been making people feel good inside and out since 1881. As the only mineral water bottled in Texas, their water boasts loads of benefits that other bottled waters can only envy. Pretty crazy, huh? Find it at your local Whole Foods, HEB, Central Market, or have it shipped right to your door. Visit them at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
There's no easier way to add color to your life than to decorate your home and garden with lights. They aren't just for Christmas. Pink, teal, purple, light up your yard, dorm room, or add sparkle to your birthday party. Find every color under the sun online at ChristmasLightSource.com. That's ChristmasLightSource.com.
Back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Danny Miles, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Daniel Tagg and Sean Wells in studio and Dr. Mike Benster on the line. He is America's culinary interventionalist. He is a Metallica fan. He's the affiliate faculty member at the University of Montana. There I go again. And College of Missoula. I got to quit fooling around here, Dr. Fenster. You bring out the kid in me. I don't know why. I always get silly when you're on the air. You've got such a great sense of humor. You really do. And you're a board-certified cardiologist and the author of the books, The Fallacy of the Calorie, Why the Modern Western Diet is Killing Us and How to Stop It. And his most recent book, Ancient Eats, are both currently available to order at chefdrmike.com. And you've got another book coming out here, Food Shama, right?
Food Shaman, that's right.
Yeah, the Food Shaman.
The Art of Quantum Food.
Oh, I can't wait to get it. When does it come out again?
You should have the PDF, so it's in process right now. So I'm hoping, realistically, it'll probably be early 2018 because it takes several months to finish the edits, and there's always a lead time and so on and so forth. So the manuscript is done, and you should have your PDF copy.
I do have my PDF copy, and I have cracked it, and I got to tell you, it's pretty cool, and I can't wait for the book to come out. So when can we pre-order it?
I will let you know, hopefully shortly. Generally, we start the pre-orders as soon as as soon as we get the deal done with Amazon. They really, kind of control
the world.
expanding beyond the books and the world. And certainly if you're an author, they definitely control the book world. So as soon as it's, available and we get everything wrapped up with them and available on Amazon, then we'll put it out there. And like the other books, we'll put a link to that site. And for a lot of folks have the Amazon Prime membership, so they get the shipping free. It'll be available on Kindle if you just want to download it to your reader as well. So we'll make sure all those modalities are there for the folks.
Well, I can't wait. I can't wait. And I always love talking to you. Today we're talking about the Mediterranean approach when it comes to diet. So what do you want people to know about this? We hear a lot about the Mediterranean diet, but what about the Mediterranean approach?
Well, I think I call it the Mediterranean approach as opposed to the Mediterranean diet for a couple of reasons. One is that I think when we, at least our common understanding of diet when we talk about diets, puts us in a very narrow perspective. So we start immediately talking about, well, what don't we have? Don't eat red meat. Don't eat a burger. That's not on the Mediterranean diet. Never have fish and chips. That's not on the Mediterranean diet. So those sorts of things we start focusing as a very programmed, very algorithmic driven way to eat. And really, if you look at the Mediterranean diet and the data on the Mediterranean diet, which is very impressive, and we do talk about that in the new book, as I've talked about it in the old books, older books, I should say, what we find is that it really reflects an approach. And when we look at the Mediterranean, it's like saying, oh, well, I'm going to eat American. Well, good gosh, you go into the South for barbecue, you go into the West for a fish taco, you get some New England clam chowder, you head into, Seattle for some coffee, you go into the heartland for beef and corn. The U.S. is, the American diet is such a broad spectrum of all these different things. And the Mediterranean is exactly the same. There are 22 different countries that border the Mediterranean. And I like to take as an example Italy.
Of course.
Which everyone would agree is the leader, right? Right,
yes,
Bernadette?
Yes, absolutely.
The leader. The leader set the tone for, what we in the West would consider maybe a Mediterranean diet. And gosh, there are so many different subtypes within Italy, depending on where you go. So if you go up to the Piedmont, you're going to get a very different Mediterranean diet than if you're down, in Sicily or Sardinia or Naples, for example. Yet all of those are valid. All of those show the benefits. So I like to say, well, what's common amongst their approach? Well, and you'd like this, most of the beverages, wine and water in a traditional Mediterranean approach. Very little of these sugar sweetened beverages.
Mm-hmm.
Very little of these artificially zero calorie flavored beverages. And that applies to the food as well. One of the reasons I love the Mediterranean approach and cuisine, because to me, my interpretation of Italian cooking, it's all about fresh, wholesome, authentic, natural ingredients. That's the key.
Well, Italians take their food very serious, and I think that's why they are leaders. I know about you. I don't know about you, but I know I go to the grocery store almost daily. I always get my produce fresh. Maybe I'll buy 2 days out, but that's it, max, because, I like to prepare my food fresh. And, in your newsletter, you talk about we have become a visual society, and for many, seeing is believing. What else do you want people to know about this?
Well, that you know, when we talk about food, as you mentioned in the lead there, you know, so often it is about, you know, what we see. And that really worked for us, you know, up until really probably about 50, 75 years ago, maybe less. But now we can be tricked. So when we look at a carrot, we don't know whether it's orange dye number two or natural carotene.
Yep.
You know, and you were just talking about vegan chicken wings. So, you know, a chicken is not a chicken is not a chicken. You know, a nugget with 30 ingredients is not the same as a chicken wing from a real heritage breed pastured bird. And so seeing is believing, but not always.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got to use our brains, and we've got to learn what I say is, you know, to source like a chef. And you've got the book, so that you'll see that there's a whole big section in there I call The Art of Sorcery, which is sort of the lessons and things and the caveats when we source our different ingredients. So we have to be very, very careful. And we also have to understand, too, you know, local is not always organic. Organic is not always local. Best when the two are there. But we've got to put a little work back into sourcing our foods. And we've really given up that power, that autonomy, you know, to be in charge of our own food and our own diet. And I think it's time we really took that back.
Yeah, I agree. And you also write that most studies to date have focused on individual food groups or nutrients, yet it is known that diet is a multifactorial lifestyle behavior with particular foods frequently consumed together depending on the cultural, geographic, and economic context of the individual.
Wow, that sounds really smart. Who wrote that?
I think you did.
I hope I footnoted appropriately. Goodness gracious.
It is very well written. You're an incredible writer. That's why your books are so enjoyable. Well, so what do you want people to know about that?
Well, that's true. And that's really the whole book that's coming out, Food Shum, and really starts to explore what I call the food experience, because you can have the same meal and it will have two very different physiological effects depending on whether it's an unpleasant business dinner or, you know, a wonderful romantic interlude. And so we respond to food as part of a cultural and, excuse me, societal influence, and in turn, you know, our predilections, you know, what we like influences the culture and the society. So it's very deep rooted. It's very dynamic. It's part of our DNA as a human and as a member of the human tribe, and that can be very healing. And that's what this book is about, is to how to understand that and how to transform that that food into the food experience and use it for healing ourselves, then healing our communities, and then hopefully, you know, putting it out there and healing the planet at large. So food and the food experience is very, very powerful, and we all have the potential. It's not about, you know, dancing naked by the campfire. You're certainly welcome to do that if it makes your food experience better. But we can use some of the tools of the shaman, which is really intention, focus, mindfulness, gratitude, and, you know, in a very overly simplistic way, you know, love to heal ourselves and heal others through food.
Yeah, no, I love to cook. You know that. And I know you do, too. Mm-hmm. So many people, I think, struggle with it, though. And I think one of the most difficult things for people, you touched on a little bit, and so did I, with, you know, the talking about the crispy tenders, the Gardein, you know, 7-grain crispy tenders. I was very disenchanted after I read the whole label, because on the front it said, you know, made with non-GMO ingredients, dairy-free, always vegan, kosher, plant protein. I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be great if they taste good. And they did. They tasted amazing. As I said, you know, the people that were joined me for dinner were eating the vegan instead of the chicken wings. I mean, not the wings, but the chicken, you know, like tenders, the real chicken tenders. And then so I flip it over and I read what's in it. And I know a lot of people have different, you know, opinions about soy, okay? And so it does have soy in it. But if you're a vegan or a vegetarian and you want to have the experience of a chicken wing, kind of, or not a wing, but like a tender, it's a nice substitute once in a while. And I thought I was safe, so I read on, and it's got soy protein isolate with a little asterisk that says, and then expeller pressed canola oil with an asterisk that says, for the asterisk, not genetically engineered soybeans or canola. But then you go down, Dr. Fenster, to the 7-grain breading, And it has soybean oil in it, and it doesn't have the asterisk. And so that's why that GMO certification is so important, because they, I guess because of labeling laws, which I don't know, you know, by heart, but they are allowed to put made with non-GMO ingredients and kind of trick the customer, the consumer.
Right.
And
yeah.
it made me so mad, because I don't want to eat soybean oil, and especially well, non-GMO or genetically modified, I should say.
Well, you know, I'm with you, and I'm a simple guy, and that's why if I'm craving and my body's craving a chicken wing, I get a chicken wing. but I'm not as sophisticated as you.
Well,
I take the simple approach.
Well, it's not that. You know, for me, it's at the very heart of, you know, my quest on this earth for the short time that I'm here to try to, you know, make things better. So for the animals and all of us, because we're all connected.
We are, and that's a big part of the book, and to understand that and approach your food experience, and your relationships, which is what the world and our lives are all about, with gratitude and with an understanding, and you know, maybe if you can spare it, throw an ounce of love in there as well.
All right. Did you like the Facebook post that I tagged you in with the crazy penguin dancing to what was the band? We didn't know.
Some heavy metal.
Some heavy metal. It was really funny.
It was great. And I was like, yep, absolutely got it.
All right. Dr. Mike Fenster, America's culinary interventionist. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Y'all have a good weekend.
All
Bye
right.
Bye.
You too. All right, everyone. Stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like Blueberry Blast, Coconut Cashew, Cinnamon Roll, and Salted Caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Hi, this is Bernadette, here to tell you about the world's most trusted hemp extract, Charlotte's Web, by the Stanley Brothers. Charlotte's Web hemp oil contains naturally occurring antioxidants and neuroprotectants. This amazing product is hand-planted and grown using organic farming practices on Colorado family farms. CW has a variety of wellness applications and has achieved global recognition from media coverage of Little Charlotte's amazing success story. All I have to say is thank you, Charlotte's Web, for improving lives with natural Colorado wellness. Visit them at cwhemp.com. That's cwhemp.com. Charlotte's Web, the world's most trusted hemp extract.
Here's the dill pickle. Squatty Potty works. It's awesome. Find yours at your local Bed Bath & Beyond, Amazon, or squattypotty.com. That's squattypotty.com.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
To this song last night, Danny Miles, when I was rocking out. And I actually thought of you, Sean Wells, because I played a little CCR.
Ooh,
you know, that's one of your favorite bands.
That.
I just mixed it up. I had Tupac, Tom Petty, you name it.
Who's
Third
CCR?
Eye Blind, huh?
Who's CCR?
What?
You know me, Sean. Like, I don't know anything about music.
I don't know
is
who that is
real?
Either.
Really?
All right, I'm writing it down right now.
John Fogerty? Do you know who he is?
No.
You knew? No.
They're just kids.
Creedence Clearwater Revival.
I am not a child.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
do you know Creedence Clearwater Revival?
No.
It doesn't even sound familiar.
Not even
no,
familiar.
Never even
what?
Heard it.
I know. It's crazy, right?
Well, it's not because I'm young. I just don't know anything about music. Like, Zero. Because you guys, I didn't even know my own name song.
Daniel.
Oh, Daniel, yeah. Danny, my brother. Is that CCR? Oh, I recognize this. I recognize it. I feel like a 1950s, right?
My brother Joe, my older brother Joe, God bless his soul, he loves CCR. So I used to listen to this when I was real little. But I used to dance to it, you know, when I was a kid. I like, what's that song I always think of him? When
Proud Mary?
No.
Oh, Put Me in Coach
I love Proud Mary, too. In fact,
my daughter
and I.
Oh, that's a great song right here.
Here's another great
one. I recognize this song.
I know this song.
This is like the Vietnam song.
That's because of Forrest Gump. You guys are ding-dongs. You know the song from Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Haven't you ever seen The Rain?
The Rain?
The Rain. Have you ever seen The Rain?
Have you ever seen The Rain?
Are you talking about like outside?
It's the song.
I know that song too.
I don't know that one. Sorry.
Have you heard Put Me in Coach? That's him solo. John Fogerty.
I don't think I've heard that one.
Gosh, you guys are killing me.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, off topic.
Abandon.
Yeah.
Well, so if you're just now joining us and you've just begun your lunch break, you're listening to One Life Radio, and this is Bernadette with Danny Miles, amazing on the music, Lexi Brinkley, Daniel Tagg, and Sean Wells. Sean Wells is a certified sports nutritionist and fellow through the very prestigious International Society of Sports Nutrition. He has credentials everywhere. He does clinical work, business, exercise, nutrition, sports, making for a unique and highly respected blend of expertise, the CEO of Zone Halo Research. And Daniel Tagg is
my trainer.
Is his trainer.
I am.
And that's how we met Daniel. And he's also right next door at Telos Fitness Center. Daniel is an orthokinetic specialist trainer. He is certified in orthokinetics and biomechanics of resistance training. Today, we are talking about 7 general movement patterns. Okay, so what do you mean by movement patterns?
Yes, that's kind of just the everyday thing that we do, like as far as flexion, extension, pushing, pulling, rotation, squatting, and walking. If you look at it, it's the way that we develop as babies, right? We all kind of start in a flex position, then eventually you kind of see them extend, and right after extending, they learn how to roll over, right? And then they start to pull themselves up, push themselves
You're
away.
You're making me think of cute little babies right now. They're so sweet.
And the squat. Like
exactly.
A baby can stay in a squat for like forever. In a perfect squat.
Oh, and they can touch their, you know, their glutes down to the
That's because they haven't destroyed their knees yet.
Exactly. Well, if you just look at the mobility of a baby, it's just like, man, I wish I had that mobility. Of course, they don't have the stability yet, and they're really wobbly, too.
They don't have sitting syndrome, if you want to call it that, like from we in these quote-unquote first world countries are destroying our bodies in chairs, and all these people in these third world countries that are supposedly so backwards, like squat to go to the bathroom,
you know,
like squatty potty.
Like
squatty.
Right? Exactly. Well, you know, it's funny, last night when I was working out, I was doing like some yoga and crawling around on the floor and doing down dog dog, what's it called?
Downward dog.
Yeah, downward, what is it?
Downward dog. No,
downward dog.
Down dog.
Anyway, so I thought if anybody could see me right now, they would think I'm totally insane because I was rolling around on the floor just trying to, like you're saying, move my body and loosen it up so that I could dance really well. And also, and I was doing sets in between of like, I don't know, you want me to show you?
Yeah, let's go for it. Okay. Everyone likes it when you do that.
Her demonstration.
See. Yeah, she's getting up. She's getting ready. Arms are by the side. She's holding 20 pounds at about her shoulder height with her hands and going down squatting and pressing up. Oh, yeah.
And they really make you like sweat. Let me get my head.
Like a squat into a military press with dumbbells.
Except for his palms facing in.
And 20 pounds in each. Yeah. And I did 25 like sets of like, I don't know, 5 of them. And then I just danced and then did some yoga and stuff. Just kind of mixed it up. But I wanted to get some weight training in there. And
I do that with 12 packs.
Nice. Well, actually, that's actually almost the exact movement pattern of bucking bales onto the trailer. Like,
really?
You know, you squat down, you come up, and you throw it up.
Yeah,
I mean, I've done that hundreds of times, probably thousands.
I guess because I'm a girl, 20 pounds in each hand doesn't sound like very much, but it is.
It
After
adds
you
up.
Do about 25 repetitions, you're gassed.
Oh, yeah. It adds up.
Yeah. Okay, so what? So you've got these 7 general movement patterns.
Patterns.
What did I say?
Patterns.
How do you train for these?
Okay, it's just, you know, general things. Like, there's 3 different planes of motion in the body. Okay, so if you're talking about, like, pushing and pulling, right? Everyone knows squat, how to train squats for the most part. But pushing and pulling, you do this in planes of motion. Our body's kind of broken up in 3 planes called the medium plane, which kind of breaks your body into right and left halves. So you'd be pulling or pressing with your palms facing in. There's the horizontal plane, which kind of splits the body into upper and lower halves, which then you would be pressing horizontal to the ground or pulling. Okay.
Or ceiling.
Or ceiling, okay. Depending on what position you're doing. I'm right. From the That's standing true. Position. But anyways, now from the standing or seated position, if you're pulling straight down like the lat pull downs, that would be the frontal plane where it splits our body into right and, or not right and left, front and back, right? So being able to pull in each one of these movement patterns, right, in each one of these planes allows us to kind of move throughout life in our pushing and pulling and making sure we can stabilize from the abdominals, not move the spine. It's like we're always focusing on with you, Sean. It's not arching from that lower back. Yeah. Stabilize it. Move just from the shoulder blades and the humerus right there.
This sounds like rowing. Is that why rowing is so good for you?
Well,
like
I love rowing.
It is
I do
rowing.
Too.
That one's, you're allowing some spinal flexion and extension in that one because there's not as much load. But then you're working on pressing from your legs and everything else. But.
Well, and Sean told me to bring up sex with you, so
Lexi started this thing. She just loves to make me red over here.
We love to embarrass Daniel because he gets really
what
uncomfortable.
What planes are you in?
So what kind of movement are we talking
what kind
about
of movement
here?
Patterns.
Mostly medium plane, really. If you're talking about traditional, no.
Okay. Interesting. Is that good exercise, Daniel?
That actually is good cardiovascular exercise.
Okay.
Good.
I've heard.
Daniel's still a virgin. Everyone.
Okay, so how do you train for these? Again, how do you train for these?
You know, one of the biggest things is rotation, right? We talk about you see people in the exercise in the gym always doing this twisting type thing, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about true rotation that we do in life, there's this thing called type 1 and type 2 rotation. Our middle spine and lower spine, which is thoracic and lumbar, is designed to do what's called type 1 rotation, which is rotate one way and laterally flex the opposite, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we were going to really train rotation, which is the biggest thing that we do in life, really. It happens every time we walk, if we open a door. Anything we do, we hardly ever do two arms, right? The pushing and pulling stuff's great.
I got a good one.
What?
Okay.
Okay, so she's getting up. She's going to show
Here
us.
Here we go.
Yeah. She's getting up. Oh, she's bending down to get out of her.
This is a 20-pound ball.
Okay, so she's holding her backpack. That's a 20-pound ball. And she's laying beside her. She's sitting down on the ground.
She's doing some Russian twists.
Yes, so she's taking the ball Russian and kind of touching the ground and then coming back up. The thing with that, though, is she's actually doing what's called type 2 rotation. So she's in a sitting position on the ground, right? She has the ball by her stomach, and she goes down, touches it to her side, comes back up, goes back down, touches it to their other side. So if you go into that, Bernadette, when you're going into it, you're actually rotating and side bending same way.
I love them.
That's called type 2 rotation. That's not the way the spine's designed, and it can actually put you into an impingement position.
Really?
So, I mean, it's not.
It makes my stomach really, really
I used
just
to do
really
that too,
strong.
The Russian twist,
you are going to get good abdominals there and everything, but you're not training. If you're talking about functional exercise or what's really going to transfer over and how our structure is designed, because structure dictates function. Okay, so if you look at how the spine is actually designed, if you look at the facets and some of these complicated words to designate what the spine is made up of, different bony landmarks on it, it's designed to where the lumbar gets most of the lateral flexion, kind of flexion to the side. And then once that happens, the thoracic or the middle spine allows you to kind of rotate and move throughout life. That's what you do every time you take a step.
Mm-hmm.
And one way you can kind of train that is you take a cable from behind you, put it across one side. Sean, we're going to do these right after this, right?
Yep.
He knows what I'm talking about. You put it across your shoulder on one side and grab it with the opposite arm. You go into a lunge with the opposite leg forward. I'm standing up because I have
to. Yeah, I want
to
see this. I'm going to do it later too.
You're kind of going into a lunge with the opposite leg forward of the weight coming across the opposite shoulder, if that makes sense, okay? Grabbing it with the same side arm as the leg forward, and you're going to flex down and then rotate into the leg that's forward, okay? And that's called type 1 rotation.
I just got a great idea. How about we send a film crew over there sometime, film you guys working out.
That would be awesome.
And put it on onelifradio.com.
Yes.
Absolutely. I've spent how many years working out with you guys?
I think it's 5 years now.
So we've perfected this on my body.
Yes.
But can I pick your outfits that you wear in the video?
I don't know. As long as it's matching. Sean is very particular about his shoes and shirt and
I know.
Things
he is.
Matching.
As long as my scarf matches.
He's matchy-matchy. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much. We've got Sean Wells continuing on here and Daniel Tagg. We're going to be talking about gallbladder issues here on One Life Radio. Stay tuned. Drum and hold the phone. The sun came out today. We're born again. There's new grass on the field. We all know water is essential for life, but all water is not created equal. And here's what separates Crazy Water from the rest. Crazy Water is as nature intended, with minerals and electrolytes infused by Mother Nature, not some factory. Have it shipped right to your house or find a retailer near you through their website at drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com. It's water as nature intended.
Today, we're here to tell you about the success of Squatty Potty. Consumers are experiencing the healthful benefits from having the correct posture when eliminating the toxic and harmful fecal waste from their bodies. Now, Squatty Potty has made it portable. Introducing Porta-Squatty. Now you can experience the healthful benefits no matter where the road takes you. It easily folds up and fits into a discreet carrying bag the size of a book. Porta-Squatty. Available at Bed Bath Beyond, Amazon, or for an exclusive discount of 25% off your entire order, use code One Life at checkout at SquattyPotty.com.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
No, I wasn't going to bring it up.
Oh, my. Are you serious? You don't know this song?
It's all about golf
ladders.
You
have to cut him some slack on this.
Danny, what are we going to do with Daniel Tang, my brother?
You might recognize this song from hockey games, but it wasn't big when it came out. Actually, this was my first concert, believe it or not.
Really?
So I don't even know
it's a band. It's a Canadian band called Trooper.
Trooper.
And they were opening up. Back when I saw my first concert, they were opening up for a band called Head East. Head East.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some of their songs, too. But
Never Been Any Reason.
There was another song. You know, one of the songs I've always loved from my brother's music, the song Get Ready. Who's it by, Danny? You know that song, Get Ready. Well, the beginning of it is like, I don't know, it's just a sexy song to dance to. Get ready, because here I come.
Rare Earth,
that's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Rare Earth, yeah. And then people are like, who's that? But do you know the song I'm talking about?
No, I don't, actually.
Are you
come
serious?
On, Sean.
Yes, you
come
do.
On.
Oh,
here,
man.
Here, let me play.
I stuck Sean.
There
that's hard to do.
I know. Oh.
There you go.
They're getting ready, because here I come. That one? Yeah, all right.
Listen
I
to
do
that
know
rhythm,
Sorry.
Though. Look at that. Listen to that.
That's
beat.
Another. Like
that
that's one. Another song. Every time there's a Vietnam movie, that's all. That's,
yeah.
That,
yes.
That also gets played.
It's
a quite
great
a bit.
Dance song. The beginning of it, just you know, I got these certain moves.
Go with it.
Okay, right. I think there's
certain
flexion
moves.
And rotation involved in that.
Yes. Hey, speaking of which, real quickly, you know, Danny, you were talking about rotation. Really interesting, when I was going through my rehab for my shoulder, they had me do a lot of rotation exercises.
Well, actually, rotation directly affects the shoulder, and shoulder directly affects rotation. Mm. So that's probably why.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well,
there you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Well, I'm having trouble with my voice, so Sean is going to read a letter. Sean Wells, certified sports nutritionist and fellow through the very prestigious International Society of Sports Nutrition, and he is the world's greatest formulator. He's been tagged that because he's got this amazing brain that just, you know a lot about a lot, Sean. We always love having you on the show. You've been a huge part of the success of the show as well. Highly respected blend of expertise in so many different fields as CEO of Zone Halo Research. And of course, Daniel Tagg is an orthokinetic specialist trainer at Telus Fitness Center. And he is also Sean's personal trainer for many, many years. And today we're talking about gallbladder issues. And we also, before we get to that though, we got a letter from one of our listeners
yeah.
that my throat is just not going to handle this because it's kind of a long letter. You go ahead and read it, please.
All right. It's a letter from Lena, and she's a listener of the show. And so it's really cool to get something, you know, really directly from a listener.
Yes.
And so she says, "Hi, I'm 21 weeks pregnant, so I'm not exactly following any kind of really strict eating regimen at the time. Damn cravings. But I'm a big fan of more natural eating, paleo, keto, etc." And we've talked about how much those kind of overlap lately. "I like whomever on the show, I think Sean Wells, says I'm not afraid of fat."
Who doesn't? Yeah. You're like, you know, I've got all these girls that are crazy about you.
Okay. said, okay.
Okay. All right. So she says, "Haha, me neither. I'd much rather eat a high-fat diet than a high-carb diet. It just makes me feel awful. Welp. Pregnancy has brought a whole slew of fun new problems, haha, one of which is gallbladder problems. Yay," sarcastic eye roll. "My midwife says that there's not a whole lot, LOL, they can do while I'm pregnant, so I should just follow a severely low-fat diet. What? That's like my hell. But this pain is also the worst I've experienced in my life and might even be after I have a natural childbirth, according to other moms who have experienced both. My God. So while I've been doing some research and currently listening to your show, hi, I wondered if you have any experts who might be able to shed some light on this topic. I'm not a super hardcore keto dieter, even before pregnancy, like I said, but I just thought I just like to eat more naturally, which usually includes lots of things with healthy fats like peanut butter, whole milk, etc. My midwife literally gasped when I told her I eat peanut butter and drink whole milk. Face palm." I love the stuff that's interspersed in here. It's really well written. "But what is a woman to do when she's gotten herself into gallstone, gallbladder problems and hates high-carb diets? I was just thinking that I mustn't be the only one, and maybe, just maybe, you could dedicate a teensy portion of your show, just maybe you could, to this topic, should you feel so inclined, smiley face. I'm reluctant to go to my primary doc about it because to him, problems equals pills." That's a great point. "And that's not the way any of this works. Ha, ha, ha. Either way, thanks in advance. I love your show. I love all the people on it. One Life Radio is part of my near daily vernacular as I always try to spread the wisdom. Ha, ha. So keep on being awesome. You are loved, Lena."
And we love you, Lena, for reaching out to us. Thank you so much from the bottom
really
of our
cool.
hearts. And so we're going to be talking about the gallbladder issue here. So what can we tell her? What is the gallbladder and what does it do? Because I really don't know. You hear it all the time. I know my mother had gallbladder problems at one point in her life, but why?
Yeah, so it really is kind of a weird organ that most people have no idea what it does. And you can technically have it removed and live life pretty well. You know, maybe you make some slight adjustments to your diet, but you can live without it. And it's actually a small pouch that sits just under the liver, and the gallbladder stores bile. And what happens with that bile is that it digests fats. So when you have fat in your diet, the bile from your gallbladder actually breaks that down so that you can use that fat. So, you know, that's why sometimes there's fat malabsorption issues. You know, people get pain that eat too much fat, like if they have gallbladder issues. So that's what can happen. So the first thing that they recommend if you have your gallbladder removed or you're having gallbladder issues is eat a very low-fat diet. This actually happened to my dog as an example. So the one thing that's really interesting here when I was looking into it is that it's actually more likely to happen with pregnant women. First off, women get it more often, pregnant women get it even more often still, and it's correlated back to, they think, estrogen or progesterone, which is surging.
I was going to say lactation maybe or something that it
Right. So one article I read said estrogen, another one, which is beta estradiol or estrone. Another article said progesterone, but those are hormones that are higher in women and then even more elevated in pregnancy. So it's really interesting that there's some correlation there. I don't know the exact cause. It's not really clear at this point from anything I've read, but it is more likely with women that are pregnant. So The women are that are pregnant also run all the risks that are associated with having potentially gallstones, and that's when that there's crystallization of that bile that's in the gallbladder, and then it makes these stones, and you know you can't actually move the stones through those ducts, and it can become extremely painful.
No, my mother had the gallstones too. I remember her having like surgery to have them removed.
Right, exactly. So it's a real problem potentially for her. I would recommend that she does bite the bullet and go see, I don't know which doctor she was talking about, but going to maybe her OBGYN and saying, you know, I'd like to get a scan of my gallbladder and make sure I don't have gallstones, because that can, you know, lead to inflammation, which is cholecystitis. It can lead to running a fever along with, you know, an infection. And then again, the pain can get worse and worse and worse. And you know, you can get very ill from it. So, you know, I would definitely be more proactive on this. I'm going to give some advice of some things I would do, but I would, you know, I'd be remiss to not say, see your doctor and get a scan.
Right.
You know, because this is, you know, she's showing some of the symptoms that make sense here that she potentially has these gallstones. So it's something to look at here and then track into the future, even after, like she said, even after she has the baby.
Well, yeah, because I don't know if this is her first baby, but, you know, my mom had 8 babies so, and one set of twins. And so maybe if it's a pregnancy thing and she's going to go on to have more babies, this is something that she really needs to deeply understand.
Right, exactly. So my advice to her, you know, like I said, first I would see the doctor, get that scan. Then I would probably eat, she's going to eat some carbs, but make sure they're like a lower glycemic carb. I think some of the reason that she talks about maybe not feeling so great on carbs is that they could be some higher glycemic carbs, the starches, the sugars, some things like that. So she's probably feeling that glucose intolerance. And then I would say eat a higher protein diet and start on a digestive enzyme, lipase, that helps digest fats, and then get on MCTs, medium chain triglycerides. Those are actually digested differently than normal fats. They don't require the bile, so you can get the energy and some of the wellness by taking in those MCTs.
And we're going to put it all in our newsletter. Thank you so much, Sean Wells, Daniel Tagg, Danny Miles, Lexi. Thank you all. Thank everybody for listening. Thank you for listening. You know, a big shout out to our sponsors. You can now find Sun Warrior and Squatty Potty at the Vitamin Shop. And, of course, Crazy Water and Charlotte's Web. You know what, everyone? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.